Welcome, or maybe it's welcome back. You've checked into the Newport Storytellers podcast, and we are so happy that you have. This is episode 3 of a 6-part series of stories and music from Newport, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, west side of the Yarra River, or Birrarung, River of Mists. And we are your hosts, Jackie Kerrin and
Matt MacArthur. With the support of Hobsons Bay City Council, through its quick response grants, we have created a listening adventure from the heart, using whatever methods worked on the day. Phones, Zoom, USB mics, and tin cans on a string.
Matt, I find tin cans and string is excellent. You don't need any power. You can reel it out anywhere you are. What do you think about this?
I've got to say, take the beans out first.
Oh, that must be why mine's been sounding a bit muffled. Anyway, I'll remember that for next time. Thank you for that. You're just such a tech master. Newport fosters a thriving community of musicians and storytellers who practice the art of the raconteur, the reciter of verse, the folk and fairy tale, or as we sometimes say, the said, not read, or the spoken word.
And we've learned how ephemeral the art of oral storytelling can be. Over the years, we've recorded many of the storytellers, and in the light of our lives and the lives of everyone around the world being so deeply affected by COVID-19, it feels like it's time to release some of the tales into the universe. After all, who doesn't love a story and a soul?
So, what's the plan for this episode, Matt?
The plan. You should know the plan by now, Jackie. The plan is, as always, very excellent.
Excellent!
We have two stories, and between the stories, our musical director and regular presenter, Alan Davies, has something special for us from the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club. And, of course, we have other delights from our audio treasure trove, and we have the lullaby. But before we launch into it, we promise to deliver something of interest about Newport in every episode. So for this episode, I consulted with Dave Davies.
Ah, yes. Our listeners might remember in episode 1, Dave regaled us with his recitation of C.J. Dennis's poem, The Play.
Indeed. But what I didn't explain at the time is that Dave is a Newportonian of over 60 years. He's deeply knowledgeable about Newport, and I can assure you, a reliable reporter of local history. Here is Dave recorded on Zoom by Alan, who kindly pressed the record button for us. Thanks, Alan, for the button pressing support. So here it is, one of my favourite segments, Newport in a Nutshell. Jackie, I think you'll be impressed.
Thank you, Jackie. So tonight I would like to tell you a few stories to remind you of what a remarkable place Newport is, with such talented and skilled people. Oh, wait a minute, I should have said, with all due respect, yes. Due modesty. That's a word that I don't use very often. Never mind. Anyway, some examples. One example is there was a time when many locals around Newport used to keep, breed and train homing pigeons. They were taken out in cages and released, and the competition was to see whose pigeon got home first. Now, this was long before we knew anything about DNA and genomes and all that scientific stuff. But one smart bloke, living not far from here, succeeded in crossing a homing pigeon with a woodpecker so that when it got home, it would knock on the door. So you can imagine what that was an advantage to him. Now we're talking about talent too. There was a house painter in Newport who taught himself to paint amazingly realistic pictures of products on sale at the shopping centres. For example, his painting of a hamburger on a wall in Newport made your mouth water and had you heading for the nearest cafe. Now, a bakery got him to paint a big loaf of bread on the wall outside in the street. It was so realistic that flocks of birds pecked at it, often breaking their beaks or their necks. Dead birds littered the footpath and complaints were made, and the RSPCA chimed in until the council ordered the loaf to be painted over. So there. Another example of that same bloke was at a factory down the road here in Mason Street that assembled pot-bellied stoves, got the painter to depict one of their stoves on the wall of the factory outside. Now, the warm reddish glow of the painting attracted a growing number of local unemployed and homeless people who set up a kind of camp on the footpath to keep themselves warm. One bloke even drove a nail into the wall and hung a billy on it to boil water to make cups of tea. Now, some of the neighbours and the factory owners objected. So the painter changed his creation to make the stove a lot brighter and a hotter shade of red to repel this homeless mob. Oh, and however, the heat from the painted stove set a street tree on fire and blistered the paint on cars in the street. Once again, it had to be painted out. So he wasn't followed by success. Nevertheless, you could see his talent. Now, getting away from the painter, years ago, there was an abattoir in Newport, down in Champion Road, near the railway level crossing. The slaughtermen, labourers, boners and packers processed thousands of sheep after unloading them with trucks, with the aid of drovers and their dogs. Unfortunately, one morning, a truck ran over a drover's dog and killed it. A serious loss indeed, not only for the dog, but also for the drover. So the drovers called on the management of the abattoirs to compensate the owner, but they refused. So the drovers called a meeting with their union organiser, a bloke named Wally Curran, with the intention of going on strike. But Wally thought for a few moments and he said, "Hey, why should you strike? Why not get the dogs to go on strike?" Next morning, everyone turned up for work except the dogs. Chaos prevailed. You've got no idea. Sheep were running everywhere except where they were supposed to go. They ran across the road and the railway crossing. The traffic was held up. It was a long time before any sheep could be chased into the killing and processing area. Went on for several days and got a lot of publicity, as you'd imagine. Public opinion turned towards the drovers and the dogs. Dogs in other abattoirs signed petitions of support with their paw prints. Finally, Wally and the works delegate, Les McDonald, who lived here in Newport, called on management to receive a deputation to negotiate and went into the office with their dogs. At a given signal, all the dogs started barking and filled the office with shattering noise. With their ears blocked, the management agreed to compensate the drover. So that was just another incident that showed how remarkable a place was Newport. It set a new example for industrial relations. Now, I should add that one of the stories I have told you was true, or close to it. So that will do for now.
Matt, I thought you said Dave is a reliable reporter of local history. Hello, Matt. Matt, you've gone quiet. You can't do that on a podcast. Matt, I can hear you. Silence doesn't work. Yeah, I think Matt's gone fishing. Oh, well, I'm sure I'll turn up later. Moving forward, as they say, it's time for our first story, and I've chosen one from Cameron Sharp. Cam's story was recorded at one of our evenings in the Newport Hub way back in 2017. There are a couple of beeps in this, but that's not because Cam is prone to strong language, but simply, or actually he might be, I don't know. Anyway, but simply to protect the privacy of others. Cam has a way of telling personal tales that touch the heart, always beautifully crafted stories. As well as giving us permission to share this story, Cam designed the image we use for the Newport Storytellers. Thanks, Cam. I tell you, it takes a village to make a podcast.
Shh. Code 1. Broadmeadows car 1. 64-year-old male. Tightness in chest. Trouble breathing. Shh. Melton. Car 2. Welcome this evening. Portable 9. Shh. Dudum. Shh. Broadmeadows. You're being supported by Michael 1 en route. Shh. All units, Cabrini on bypass. Till 3 a.m. Werribee. Car 1. 2 up. Portable 2. Good evening. Good evening, Werribee. Have a great night. These are the sounds of the scanner I had when I was 21 years old. I like listening to the ambulance. It's different to the police. A lot of my friends have listened to the police scanner because it was exciting and fun, but the ambulance had hope. It was nice to listen to. It had its good times, it had its bad times, but it was always had hope. So it was kept me company at night. So I used to, being an insomniac, those nights are long and dark, and there was always something happening in the world on the scanners, and that kind of gave me some interesting stories. You never knew what happened to people. You never heard what happened to Sunshine. Car 2, female, 29-year-old, drug affected, await police assistance before approaching. You never knew what happened to these people, but they all had stories, every one of them. And so when I a few years later, I'd stopped listening to it after a while, slept a bit better. I met my partner and we were having a conversation. I hadn't met his family yet, but he mentioned to me, knew that I loved listening to the Ambos on the radio. He said, you know, your sister-in-law's an Ambo. Yes. She was great, Ambo. She always saved her best stories for me. She had some amazing stories. The woman that got stuck in the toilet and had to get the fire department out to lift her out of it. She had some tough stories too. She's got 3 kids of her own, and she always struggled with kids dying in car accidents. But it was always fun. She always saved her best stories, her most fun stories for me. And I was a code 2. 32-year-old male, dislocated knee, alcohol affected. When I took my first ride in an ambulance. And they gave me the green pen. You know, the green pen they give you when you're in pain. It's the most awesome thing in the world. You don't remember anything. That pain goes straight away. And they gave that to me. They said, suck on this. So I'm sucking on it. It's amazing when ambos appear, when you're in pain and you see them and you just know that everything's going to be okay, that they're going to look after you. And so I'm sucking on the pen, and I don't remember a whole lot of my time after that. It took them a while to get me out. I was at, had been... showing off some of my choreography when I dislocated my knee. At a sales and marketing conference with 300 people. But anyway, I made it into the ambulance. I'd passed out from sucking on the green whistle. Wasn't going to let that thing go. I woke up in this bright, fluorescent lit, moving ambulance, sucking on my green whistle. The ambo goes to me, how are you feeling? Okay, this thing's great. She goes, that ran out 20 minutes ago. That's how good it was. I said, oh, I'm in the back of an ambulance. This is really cool. She goes, I said, do you know my sister-in-law? She's an ambo. She said, no, Cameron. How are you feeling? Feeling fine. Life's good. Do you know my sister-in-law? She's an ambo. Probably not, Cameron. There's hundreds of ambos in Victoria. I said, "No, you know, she's really cool. She's got the best stories ever." She said, "No, I don't think I'd know her, Cameron." I said, "Yeah, her name's..." "Where's she from?" "I spent 6 months training..." "Yeah, I know." Sucked on my green whistle and passed out again. So that was my trip in an ambulance. It was that was my story. My story for my code too. I never found out what happened with the drug-affected girl. 64-year-old male was downgraded from a code 1 to a retrieval. Mica 1 was cancelled. That's how it goes. But at the end of the day, there was always births as well. There was some great stories, cars at the side of the road and giving birth. 385 lives she's brought into this world. So we've heard some great stories from her, and yeah, that was kind of my tribute to the ambulance.
Thank you, Cam, and thank you for your support at our annual event at the Newport Folk Festival Stories by the Fire. Held in the Newport Scout Hall in midwinter, Cam not only organises me in the kitchen as I muddle around cooking up soup and chai for our guests, he's also hosted the event for us on several occasions. The Newport Folk Festival has been shelved while we ride the COVID wave, but the time will come when once again we can gather around the hearth for stories. Hello, Matt. Are you back? Matt, I know you're there. What's up next?
Well, it's over to our musical man, Alan Davies, from the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club, whose task is to showcase a club, individual or band. And for this episode, Alan has been talking to singer-songwriter Bruce Williams. Bruce is well known around the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club. He's the leader of the Old Timey Session and a regular at the Celtic Session and many other events, and he is an accomplished guitarist and mandolin player. A few years ago, Bruce released a CD called Me and the Walls, which includes today's song. Here's Bruce in conversation with Alan Davies.
Today's singer-songwriter is Bruce Williams, and we're talking about his song Jack and Lil. Bruce, I believe the traditional tune came first, and then you created the song around that. Is that right?
That's right. I joined the Newport Bush Orchestra, and that was one of the first tunes I learned. And it's just such a happy, jaunty little tune. It's stuck in my mind. And
so what inspired you to write this rather sort of wistful, almost mythical tale around that tune?
Well, I grew up in Mount Evelyn, and around the late 60s, early 70s, I was a kid just entering my teens, and we still had a lot of swaggies around at that time, and they were real characters. And funnily enough, one of them was called Caravan Jack, and the other was called a woman called Lilydale Lil, who was reputed to carry a pistol. And all the kids were a little bit scared of her. Whether that's true or not, who knows? And there was another guy called Silly Tom. And they were regular characters. You know, they'd do a bit of fruit picking and so on, and you'd see them around. Caravan Jack used to camp with his dog next to our bus stop where we'd get the bus to school, and we'd have a chat with him. And I've been trying to write songs about these characters. They've been fixed in my mind my whole life, these characters. And I was thinking, I tried to write a song about Silly Tom that didn't come. And then the tune Jack and Lil really lent itself. I thought, wait a minute, Caravan Jack, Lilydale Lil, here we go. And I thought, I at the time I lived close to the Newport Curve, where the trains go by near the substation, and you'd hear the squeal of the wheels overnight when the big goods trains go through, and I thought that was kind of romantic. And I liked the idea of putting Jack and Lil together and having them end their days by dancing off into the night sky so that they sort of disappeared. But in my mind's eye, these people, these characters are still alive in my mind's eye. And I loved the idea of putting them together. And that's where the song, it's jaunty. It's a little bit sad. They dance out the door to be seen no more. But in my imagination, I kind of left it open. We don't know what happened to them. In my imagination, they just disappear into the night sky. And if you look up over into the stars, you can see them, imagine them just dancing their little polka in the night sky above the Newport Railway.
In the days of the old freight trains that travelled to Geelong, Jack and Lil strolled down the hill to grab one and hop on. They loved to roam, they loved to dance, they loved to ride the rails. When a slow freight passed them by, they rode on its coattails. Old freight cars were their dance halls, music was the wind and the rain. Rhythm they tapped to the clickety-clack of the rails under the train. They danced with the doors wide open so the breeze would cool them down. They were to have a royal old view when they rolled through the towns. Once been round the boxcar, round they go again. Dancing to life's wayward tunes and the sound of the old freight train. Once been round the boxcar, round they go again. Jack and Lil, they're dancing still to the sound of the rolling trains. Railway bulls would let them on just to watch the show. Jack and Lil would tear it up through rain and wind and snow. A waltz, a jig, a polka, any old kind of dance. They'd have themselves a freight car ball whenever they had the chance. One day as they were dancing a jig with all their mates, train put on some extra speed cause it was running late. A curve came up, the train rolled on, it tilted to one side. When it hit that straight again, there were two less on that ride. Once been round the boxcar, round they go again. Dancing to life's wayward tunes and the sound of the old freight trains. Once been round the boxcar, round they go again. Jack and Lil, they're dancing still to the sound of the rolling trains.
Thank you, Alan and Bruce. Jack and Lil, as we said before, comes from Bruce's CD, Me and the Walls, but also on this CD you'll find Road to Lewisburg, the theme tune for this podcast. Please visit the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club website to find more information about the club and this podcast. It's not an exaggeration. There really is something for everyone. Beginner and experienced musicians, songwriters, storytellers. There's the choir and the bush orchestra that Bruce mentioned, and so many events to participate in or just simply to relax and enjoy. So, Matt, story number two. What have you chosen?
Well, Jackie, I'm going to share one of your stories. This is the story of the Lyrebird. It's lifted from the soundtrack of a little video you made way back in 2011 with filmmaker Malcolm McKinnon. It's based on true events concerning one of the first Lyrebirds to be filmed and recorded in display in the 1930s, and the music was arranged and recorded by members of the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club, Michael Stewart and Greg O'Leary. But we can talk more about that after we hear the story.
Edith grew flowers. The food on her table, the clothes on her back, they were all paid for with the money that she earned from selling flowers. But on Monday, someone moved into her garden who had absolutely no appreciation of her flowers. He built a mound right in the middle of the daffodils. Edith couldn't believe it. She looked at him sternly, but he just looked back at her with his big black eyes. Then he leapt onto his mound. And he performed. He cracked like a woodbird, whistled like a wren, and piped like a robin, just for her. And all the time he shimmied and he shook like no ordinary chook. He was handsome, he was bright, he had feathers, bronze and white, and some chestnut black and grey, in a tail made for display. All right, said Edith. One mound, but that's it. But on Tuesday, there was another in the ranunculus. Edith couldn't believe it. No, no, he's got to go. He'll ruin me. And she was down on her hands and knees trying to save some of the flowers when she had that strange feeling that there was someone watching her. She turned and there he was on his mound. And then he performed. He cracked like a whipbird, whistled like a wren, piped like a robin, laughed like a kookaburra, and chimed like a bellbird, just for her. And all the time he shimmied and he shook like no ordinary chook. He was handsome, he was bright, he had feathers, bronze and white, and some chestnut, black and grey, in a tail made for display. All right, two mounds, she said, but that's it. But on Wednesday, there was another in the delphiniums. He'll ruin my garden. He's definitely got to go. So she fetched a large broom and a rake and a loud whistle, and she crouched down behind a rhododendron bush and she waited. All afternoon she waited. The hours went past, the sun went down, and he never showed. Edith was concerned and she missed him. On Thursday, Edith was confined to bed with a cold. All day she lay there on her bed, flat on her back, drifting in and out of sleep and occasionally staring at the paint peeling on the ceiling and vaguely aware of scratching outside of her bedroom. It was just on sunset when a small head popped up over the windowsill. He'd built a mound right underneath her window. And then he performed. He cracked like a whipbird, whistled like a wren, piped like a robin, laughed like a kookaburra, chimed like a bellbird, warbled like a magpie, and sang like a thrush, just for her. And all the time he shimmied and he shook like no ordinary chook. He was handsome, he was bright, he had feathers, bronze and white, and some chestnut, black and grey, in a tail made for display. Well, on Thursday, Edith was feeling a little better. She sat on the veranda with a warm rug over her knees, gazing out across the gully, when she was startled by a flutter and a clatter. And there he was, balancing on the narrow rail of the veranda. Do you know, she could have reached out and touched him. "Hello, boy," she said. And then he performed. He cracked like a whipbird, whistled like a wren, piped like a robin, laughed like a kookaburra, chimed like a bellbird, warbled like a magpie, sang like a thrush, screeched like a cockatoo, and then he fell off. Edith laughed. On Saturday, the carpenter came to Edith's house. All morning he sawed and hammered, and the sound of his tools rang out across the gully. When he'd finished, there was a sturdy platform fixed securely to the narrow rail of the veranda. Then Edith and the carpenter waited. They didn't have to wait long. There was a flutter and a clatter, and there he was, making his way along the narrow rail towards the platform. "Hello, boy," said Edith. "Hello, boy," he replied. Then he jumped onto his platform and he inspected it in every detail. Then he eyed the carpenter with suspicion. Then he performed. He cracked like a whipbird, whistled like a wren, piped like a robin, laughed like a kookaburra, chimed like a bellbird, warbled like a magpie, sang like a thrush, screeched like a cockatoo, and then he ripped like a saw, and he bang, 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 like a hammer. And all the time, he shimmied and he shook like no ordinary chook. He was handsome, he was bright, he had feathers bronze and white and some chestnut black and grey in a tail made for display. And he tiptoed as he danced, posed and then he pranced. He turned, he gave a hop. It seemed he'd never stop. And it was all just for her.
How sweet is that bird? Edith lived on the western slope of Mount Dandenong on the Belgrave Fernie Creek Road overlooking the bay. I actually found her old property on one of my research expeditions. That gorgeous tune you heard topping and tailing the story is a traditional one called Queerfella. Now, any bush tune specialists listening will know that Queerfella is a schottische, an Australian dance tune. However, it sounds quite different here as Greg O'Leary has rearranged it to suit the feel of the story. Greg can be heard playing violin, and on piano is Michael Stewart, and it was recorded in Michael's lounge room in Newport. For anyone interested, we've got a link to more information about Queerfella on our podcast page, and you can hear Greg playing the tune as a schottische. Matt, I just looked at the video on YouTube and it's had 7,607 views.
Almost viral, although I'm not so keen on that expression anymore. Before we change the subject, I'd like to say more about Greg and his contribution to local culture. In 2006, Greg founded the Newport Bush Orchestra. The aim of the NBO, or Bush Orcs for short, is to preserve traditional Australian colonial dance tunes by playing them, and Greg's vision for a community orchestra has proven a great success. Check it out. All welcome, whatever your instrument or level of proficiency. There's a terrific interview with Greg on the club website, and you can also see and hear the orchestra. Jackie, I reckon we should play something from the Bush Orcs.
Indeed we shall, Matt. Indeed we shall. Watch this space. We have three more episodes to assemble. Well, actually for you to assemble. So there's plenty of time.
So, Jackie, I shared something about myself in episode 2, so this time, let's hear something about you. You've been writing and telling stories for over 20 years. How did you find yourself travelling this unusual path?
Well, Matt, I had no idea that oral storytelling was an art form still being practiced until one day, I think it was sometime in the mid-90s, I heard a storyteller being interviewed on the radio, and I was fascinated and inspired. I found myself leaning into the speaker, just soaking up everything she was saying. So I found myself some wonderful mentors, immersed myself in the craft, and years later, well, here I am, someone who both tells and writes stories, because storytelling led me to find my writer's voice. For me, the spoken story is connected to the written. I like to say like blossom to fruit. And Edith Slybird is a case in point. I've been telling this story for years and years and years before it morphed into a beautiful illustrated book for children. And I guess it's no surprise that my passion for hearing stories told motivated me to create spaces where people can meet and share stories. Hence this podcast. Matt, enough about me. I know we're coming up to lullaby time, but before we get to that, I recorded a male lyrebird in Emerald in July 2009 on my phone, and I would love to play it. And while listening, just remember, this is a song from one bird. Matt, that brings us to lullaby time, and this month I've chosen All Through the Night. It's a Welsh song. The tune dates back to 1784, I believe, and the lyrics to the mid-1800s. It's a popular song with Welsh male choirs, but Dharma Picking from the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club has recorded this version for us. Enjoy.
Sleep, my child, peace attend thee all through the night. Guardian angels, God will send thee all through the night. So Tiny neighbor.
Thank you, Dharma. Recordings for this podcast have been collected any way we can, and Dharma has proved to us all that you can create something lovely when all you have is a phone and a USB mic. We have a link to a Welsh choir on our page for people who would like to hear this lullaby in Welsh sung by men. I highly recommend. It'll raise the hair on the back of your neck. So this brings us to the end of Episode 3 of the Newport Storytellers podcast. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to sharing more stories and music next month. It's goodbye from me, Matt MacArthur.
And me, Jackie Kerrin.
Jackie and I acknowledge the recording and editing of this podcast has taken place on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their unbroken connection to country that has long been mapped by story, song and dance. And we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to the elders of all nations and to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders who have been listening to this podcast.
And we thank the Newport Fiddlin Folk Club, under whose auspices we bloom, Hobson's Bay Library and the Williamstown Literary Festival, who have made space for our voices, and all the storytellers and musicians who have given us their permission to share their work. And for more information on the music making and storytelling in Newport and this podcast, visit the Fiddlin Folk Club website, nffc.org.au, where there are more groups and activities than you can poke a stick at.
Going to need a second stick. This episode of the Newport Storytellers podcast was recorded while observing strict rules of social distancing. Me in Altona and Jackie in Newport, and it has been edited by me, Matt MacArthur. We thank Cameron Sharp for our graphic, and for our theme, Road to Lewisburg, Bruce Williams. And we thank Alex Carnham for the recording of Cam's story.
All the people in this podcast have contributed to events produced in Newport and the City of Hobsons Bay under the banners of Storytelling Australia Victoria and the Newport Fiddlin Folk Club. Not all the storytellers live in the local area. Several travel from distant suburbs and even nearby regional towns to join us. Please, if you've enjoyed listening, spread the word. Stories and music are for sharing. Whew. So, Matt, this is our last episode before we break for Christmas and New Year. And I reckon we should leave our listeners with a carol. This is The Carol of the Birds by John Wheeler and William G. James, sung by the Newport Community Choir, conducted by Alan Davies and recorded by Kerry Saxby in 2012. I'm with the Sopranos.
Let's do it.
Out on the plains, the brogues are dancing, lifting their feet like war horses prancing up to the sun. The woodlarks go winging, faint in the dawnlight, echoes their singing. Oh, Rana, oh, Rana, oh, Rana to Christmas Day. Down where the tree ferns grow by the river, there where the waters sparkle and quiver, deep in the gullies, bellbirds are chiming, softly and sweetly their lyric notes rhyming. Oh, Rana, oh, Rana, oh, Rana to Christmas Day. Briar birds sip the nectar of flowers, Carowongs chant in wattle tree boughs.